8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. This hour brought to you by Preston Lee, a country financial, believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat. Let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee Country Financial. All right. Jim and the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Yeah, the throat's it's better. Still got that little raspy thing going. It's better, though. Slowly improving. Trending in the right direction, shall we say. All right, so we talked last hour a lot about name, image, likeness, some of Charles Barkley's comments about college basketball from the interview that he did with 60 Minutes the other day. And I agree with him that there needs to be more controls, somehow a better job of managing name, image, likeness, because it is turning into an art. And it's been, here's the thing, it's been this way for a while, even before name, image, likeness, of the richer getting richer. And
now it's just above board.
Exactly. It's legal. Barkley saying that the state of college athletics, it's a travesty and a disgrace.
Look, and Chuck's also a hot take artist a little bit.
A little bit.
You know.
He said, it's a travesty and a disgrace, and I'm so mad. How can we mess up something that's so beautiful? In the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to have 25 schools that are going to dominate the sports because they can afford players, and these schools who can't afford or won't pay players are going to be irrelevant. Okay, but Chuck, it's been trending that way already. It's been going that way for quite some time.
And it's fine to have that opinion, but if Auburn ever comes out on top and they get that thing figured out and they use NIL and the transfer portal and they're in the Final Four, he can't really wave that flag then because they did it a way that he did not like. Right.
Can't pump up Auburn if they get that deep, if those are that's the way that team is
or
constructed.
Or if they're into the college football playoff or whatever.
Exactly. Now, I reference that Charlie Baker is now the president of the NCAA, replacing Mark Emmert. Charlie Baker, former governor of Massachusetts. When he, and I think he talked with Greg Gumbel, and it was during halftime of one of the tournament games. Baker's been making the rounds.
Yeah.
And Baker said he plans on talking to lawmakers in Washington about NIL and allowing politicians to potentially get involved. Barkley's response was, did he say we're going to ask politicians to help us? See, that ticks me off already. That's not what he said, but our politicians are awful people. As I talked to Clark earlier, because I asked him about your conversation, I would actually like to get people who actually care about basketball. I put a committee together. I'd love for Clark Kellogg, to be on that committee. Get some coaches, get some players. Let's try to work this thing out. We can't ask these politicians nothing. These people are awful people. Democrats or Republicans, they're all crooks. I agree with him. There's a lot of people on both sides. Team elephant, team donkey, that are not great human beings. Let's just be honest about that. I agree with him to a point. I guess I agree with him in that I don't think you can go to politicians and expect them to solve this when politicians can't solve a lot of the problems in this country. True?
No, it's 100% accurate.
Far bigger issues than NIL or parity in college basketball or college athletics. Issues that have an impact on everybody in this country. We can't get resolution on that. We don't have ways of solving the problems we have in this country. So why would this group of people, Team Red, Team Blue, Team Red, why would they be the people to go to solve this problem? I agree with him. There needs to be some kind of committee, but it's a committee that's got to have some teeth. And how do you give that committee teeth to enact meaningful, impactful change to college athletics? Because the NCAA's lost all their teeth. They're like in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when the Abominable Snowman gets his teeth ripped out. It's a teethless entity now.
And I've been thinking about this.
Or a toothless entity.
I'm with you. Either way.
Yeah, either way.
Losing multiple teeth should be teethless. I'm just saying. I'm with you. I agree. That's one of the wonders of the English language. Anyway, I think there might be a way for the NCAA to regain a little bit of their disciplinary stance. But they're going to have to be willing to work with people outside the NCAA. And that's the TV networks. If they can get ESPN and Fox and Amazon or whoever has the money to say, we're sticking with you as the NCAA to provide us with our football championship teams, our basketball championship teams. If you don't get the TV networks to stay home, for lack of a better term, then where are the other where are the football teams going to go?
Right.
Because the breaking away is, well, they'll just go to the TV networks and get their own playoff, and they can break away, but if it's not on TV, it's not going to make the money.
Absolutely, because that's
where the money comes from.
That is the whole basis of what they're doing and why they're doing it.
ESPN, Disney, Fox, whoever. If you can get all of them to stay home, right? Like,
which that's not easy to do when you're talking about.
It's not going to be easy to do, but there's going to have to be some concessions. You might have to bring the price down that you're asking a little bit to guarantee both sides pull from the NCAA.
I agree with you, though. You're going to have more impact from that group than Congress.
Mm-hmm. If the TV networks say, nah, if they come to us separately, we're going, then you're screwed. It doesn't matter what Congress does because they're not going to do anything about it anyway. But if you can get ESPN to say, you know what, the college football playoff is our partnership with the NCAA, then now you have a little bit of more weight behind your swing if you're the NCAA.
Absolutely. And it's got to start at the TV networks. I totally agree.
Because if you implement rules and then you start punishing Ohio State football, then Ohio State football is going to call Alabama and Clemson and USC and Texas and be like, all right, let's get out of here. Let's go do this. Unless they know that, well, we're not going to get the TV network. We're going to be on the CW with Live Golf or whatever, right? We're going to be on WGN, Magnolia Network, whatever. Then you're not going to have teeth if they have a network to go to. If they have a
Chip and Joanna, that network, you think?
Maybe. Who knows? It's outside.
They're like Waco, right? Be a lot of Baylor football, probably.
It's inside, outside.
Sure.
Do a lot, you know. Roll the turf outside, grow some dandelions or whatever the hell goes on that show. But if you don't have a TV network to go to, where are you going to go?
That's how
you start to implement the rules. The NCAA tournament, the basketball tournament, they don't have to worry about it because that is an NCAA tournament. And I think that is enough to hold the basketball together.
Streaming networks could, though, be the rebel group here that they could, Amazon, Apple could say,
yeah,
hey, you know, come on over here.
Maybe, but they haven't gone there yet.
No, they're not. They're not strong enough yet.
The only one we're going
to get to that coming up in a moment with around the NFL about the Thursday night flex thing. So.
The only conference that has a real streaming presence going forward is the Big Ten. It's because they're going to be on Peacock a lot. We don't know what's going to happen with the Pac-12. The SEC doesn't have its own streaming component. They stream their games via ESPN and whatever, but they don't have that. This is stream only. I don't know if the Big Ten broke ground or if they're just going to let those games wander out there to die, but we'll see going forward. But I don't know if the streaming is enough.
But I do agree, though, that the TV networks play a big role.
They play a role, absolutely.
Far bigger role than Congress, and I get it that
100%.
NIL is enacted at the state level, and we had that, of course, voted in several years ago here in Colorado. Florida did it here in recent years. I just think if you're going to have a true impact, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
The TV networks are going to be more involved in that than Congress will be.
And you're
going
to see a lot of your states that get a lot of revenue from your college football are going to be more than okay with NIL.
Absolutely.
Whereas your South Dakota,
probably
they can ban it, and it's not going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. We're not that upset about that. Okay. All right, it's time to...
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, so the NFL owners' meetings are going on through Wednesday in Phoenix. Sean Payton is there. George Payton's there, too.
Why didn't they just do this a month ago? They were in Phoenix.
They want to go back. Catch the back half of spring training, I guess. I don't know. But in regard to trade rumors with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, here's Sean Payton on the Broncos potentially trading one or both of those guys.
I said it yesterday, that it's not something we're interested in doing. It'll continue, I'm sure, as we get closer to the draft. If you really look at the draft and you look at the receiver depth in the draft, it's not a real deep draft. So if you're a team that's looking for receivers, we're not the only team people called.
All right, and so George Payton, Broncos GM, he said that they've received calls because there's a really thin group of receivers in the upcoming draft and in free agency. And so, yeah, they've received phone calls. It doesn't mean that they're interested in dealing either one of those guys. And Payton went on to say, this is George Payton, that with Jeudy's finish to the season with Sutton coming close to 1,000 yards receiving, he's excited to see them with Tim Patrick this coming season. Of course, Patrick missed all of last season with an ACL injury. So it doesn't sound like either one of those guys going anywhere, but then again, things change, right? The draft's coming up.
Yeah.
Things change.
The door is slightly ajar still, you know, because Sean Payton pretty much said it. It's like, well, the draft's coming up, and that's the things and this and that.
That is the wiggle room that they have.
Wiggle room. Like the, we don't intend. Well, we didn't have any interest, but, man, we just got bowled over.
By what an incredible offer we got from Dallas or, you know, fill in the blank. All right, here's some more Sean Payton. This is on, and by the way, this is from Troy Rink, by the way. Covers the Broncos, what, 9 News for Troy Rink, I believe? Or is it 7?
I believe he's on 7.
7, I'm sorry, it's 7 that he covers the Broncos for. And this is about Sean Payton watching tape on Russ.
I watched with every one of you the season that took place a year ago. And I said this a little bit earlier, there's probably a little bit of dirt on a lot of people's hands. It wasn't good. Wasn't good on offense, that's for sure. It was hard film to watch.
All right.
I can't imagine having to sit down and watch it again. Watching it the first time through. Oh, God.
I
can't put myself through that again.
Oh, watch it again. Payton went on to say, I've worked with Russell. I was at the Pro Bowl in Florida years ago and coached him. Shoot, we played 2 or 3 different playoff games against him. I was very familiar with him. Okay.
But, I mean, that's different. You know,
Payton said of Wilson, this is from Mile High Huddle, he's super competitive. He's won at a high level. He's someone that I think moves well. He's someone that I think works extremely hard. It's hard to find guys with those traits. Okay. Fair enough. More Sean Payton evaluation on Broncos players. And once again, how much can you read from him making comments at the owners' meeting in March?
That makes me laugh, that last comment, the quote you read, the one where he moves well and he works hard, and that's pretty rare to find.
I think you play guys that do.
In general, yes. In your line of work?
Probably not.
They're all professional athletes. That's not something you can just kind of half-ass it.
Yeah.
Basketball, maybe, but not the NFL.
No, not at all.
Like James Harden is he's a professional half-asser. The guy
can fill it up, though.
Yeah. The NFL, man, you got to work. It's rare to find here. Well, maybe that's why the team sucked.
Also, he had some comments about Big Perm, Greg Dulcich.
Yeah.
Played or appeared in 10 games, started 6, finished the season 33 catches, 411 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Sean Payton was asked how big of a factor Big Perm could be in his offense. We'll see. We haven't gone through every player relative to the evaluation process. Some of it was hard, the evaluation. Some of it was hard.
Oh, that's not good. You're
that means there's
5 weeks in and he hasn't gotten to you yet?
Yeah.
That's not good. Sorry,
Big Means
Perm.
That probably what he saw just on a brief look is like, yeah, I'm not very impressed with this guy.
Oh, man. I like Big Perm, but, man, that's not good.
Yeah, where he's not saying, hey, I like this about him. I love his route running. I love his blocking in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
It's because
essentially what he said is, we haven't gotten to him yet. Ooh.
Yeah. Which means, no, there's other things they're concerned about.
Yeah.
But also, what
you're
we
not
have,
one of them.
What we've seen, yeah, we're not that impressed. We haven't really done a super deep dive, but on the surface, not that impressed.
Like, being concerned with his play can be a good thing, right?
Right. Means that you want him to get better and he has a future in your offense.
Being unconcerned, there is either he's going to be fine or we're uninterested. And that latter is kind of where this goes a little bit. Oh, we haven't gotten to that yet. Him yet. Oh, that's a dagger to anybody who loves
that
guy.
It's like, ouch. Man. Also, the Broncos, they signed Kyle Fuller. No, not former Bronco cornerback Kyle Fuller.
Oh.
Other Kyle Fuller. Kind of like there's two Connor McGoverns. This Kyle Fuller played line with Russ in Seattle at one point. Center guard. He played in Houston. Dressed for 9 games as a rookie there. Earned a couple of starts. So the Broncos have signed him to a 1-year deal. And so what does that mean for Lloyd Cushenberry III?
I knew it was a different Kyle Fuller when you said he played.
Yeah, he actually played.
That's a different guy.
Sean Payton on Lloyd Cushenberry. I feel like he's certainly going to benefit from these additions. Of course, McGlinchey, Powers on the offensive line. We haven't met any of the guys yet, but we see him as our starting center. That's more definitive. That's right. That's where he spent some time looking at Cushenberry going, okay, we see some good things there. All right. So if you're Greg Dulcich, you can't feel very good about what Sean Payton's had to say. Like Cushenberry, I have to go, okay, he feels like maybe that I have a future on this football team.
And that's the two different sides of unconcern, right? Because, we haven't met with him yet, but we expect him to be a starting center. And, well, we haven't met with him yet. We haven't gotten that far in the film yet. Like, oh.
Oh.
It's kind of the same thing. We haven't met with him yet, but it's two completely different meanings.
At least Payton, you're hearing him say, but we see him as our starting center.
Exactly.
That's a very definitive, we like things we've seen in Lloyd Cushenberry.
That's much more firm than we haven't gotten there yet.
Ooh, and boy, the tape we saw was hard. Hard to watch.
We're not intending on trading wide receivers. But anybody want this dude?
Okay, so we move off the Broncos to Lamar Jackson, who posted a letter to his fans saying he requested a trade from the Ravens on March 2nd. He said in the letter, the Ravens have not been interested in meeting my value. Remember, they placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on him. Roughly, what, 32 mil?
Yeah, 32 and change, I think. No one else is wanting to come up and meet his value either, from what I understand.
Apparently not. You have Jim Irsay on Lamar Jackson, of course, the very eccentric owner.
Enigmatic.
There we go. Mercurial owner of the Indianapolis Colts.
Very much a, what the hell is that guy doing?
Exactly. Basically what Lamar Jackson's asking for is not too much money for the Colts, but the guarantees on his contract might be. That's what Jim Irsay is saying. That he told ESPN, the money is not a problem, but that I do not believe in fully guaranteed contracts.
And this is where I question the owners. I not wanting to give out a fully guaranteed contract with the state of the NFL and injuries, I understand that. But if you sign him and your mountaintop peak is he's going to play every single day of that contract and earn every single dollar, how's that different than guaranteeing it to him other than he doesn't have to play, right? if he comes in and he plays well, he's going to get it anyway. That's the thing where I'm kind of like, well, that's where I don't understand the holdup. And it's nuance, right? We always talk about nuance. That's where I don't understand the holdup because, like, the money's not a problem.
Okay, then. well, then why not?
But paying him all of it is the problem. Well, that doesn't make sense.
If you've got the money and I want his services,
mm-hmm.
and if it takes a guaranteed contract, we feel like we're carving out $275 million for him.
Yeah.
We're going to pay him that money. Okay, then you got to be comfortable giving him all that money then.
Because
you're expecting him mm-hmm. to play the duration of that contract, yeah. play 17, hopefully 17-plus games, mm-hmm. and bring you a Super Bowl or two.
The Chiefs signed Patrick Mahomes to 10 years, $500 million. That was the big number, right?
Right.
And he might, the way it's looking, get every single dollar of that.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be worth it to the Chiefs because they've been to 3 Super Bowls, and they've won 2 of them in the last 5 years. If the Colts can get that, they don't even need to win them. If they just get to 1, maybe 2 Super Bowls under Lamar Jackson, that risk or the reward is going to be worth that risk. That's why the Browns did it. They feel that with all of the drama surrounding Deshaun Watson, just playing a football game in February is going to be worth it.
Absolutely. So if you, to me, I agree with you. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You're willing to pay this mm-hmm. money.
Money's not the problem. Well, what is the problem?
Well,
paying all of it. Well, no, you just said.
You can't say one thing and then say something entirely different.
Right.
Where.
In the same bite.
Exactly.
In the same sound bite.
All right, 822. And I'm going to save Thursday Night Flex for 4-down territory.
Okay,
so
perfect.
We'll talk about that coming up.
Flexing it into
4-down territory. We're going to flex it into 4-down territory. Time right now, though, for Triple Play Records, Stadium Cinema.
Know your sports TV shows and movies? Let's play Stadium Cinema on the team.
Yes, first correct answer today on the Chick-fil-A team line, 970-242-1340. Text only, by the way, gets the downtown double play with Triple Play, a $20 gift certificate to Triple Play Records, and a small antipasto salad courtesy of Junction Square Pizza. If you've won any time in the last 2 weeks, sit it out. That also includes the, hey, I know the answer, guys. So that way we don't get lost with the, hey, we got a winner. And no, we don't. So if you've won any time in the last 2 weeks, sit it out. And this one is 18 and over, right? Right? We don't have the 21 and over because it's not beer.
No, it's just, just 18 and over.
I didn't get to do a contest yesterday, so I'm all thought
I know,
off
you're
a little
up,
bit.
You're out of whack, and that's okay so much.
First correct answer on the Chick-fil-A text line, 970-242-1340, identifying this sports movie.
Right now, you and me playing catch, all right? Let's play catch. Come on now.
There you go. First correct answer, 970-242-1340. Texts only, please.
All right. Palisade baseball coach Nate Porter joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. Talking Palisade Bulldog sports on The Jim Davis Show.
And Nate Porter is brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. He's the coach of the Palisade Bulldogs. Nate Porter joins us. Good morning, Nate. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Just got a little bit of the allergy, raspy throat stuff. So hopefully you can bear with me through our conversation this morning.
I was thinking you were talking about me. I've got the same thing going on.
It's running rampant all across the country, Nate, this whole allergy sore throat thing. Your team went down for spring break to Arizona, and kind of take me through what you feel like you learned about your ball club playing some really good competition down in Arizona.
Well, we took a beating for sure. I was talking to the kids and told them I think it's the second or third time in our since I've been there that we've been 10 runs. You know, you learn so much from losses and playing against really good teams. The other teams were so disciplined and we weren't. I mean, 1 through 9, their kids were better every program we played, which was our intent from the beginning. But it exposes, you know, where we can get better because we can't, there's certain things you can't fix, but there's a lot of things you can. So discipline was one big one, playing with a lot of grit. The other team seemed to come out and really just know they were going to win, and they had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, which we were lacking. We threw some younger guys in the third game against Chandler and wanted to see how they would do, and we gave up 11 walks in five innings, which is just no different than 11 base hits, and it really gets your defense sleeping. So, yeah, there was a lot of really good things. Obviously disappointed with our record, but not disappointed at all making the decision to play the tougher teams early in the year.
Yeah, right now, unfortunately, on a four-game losing streak, dating back to that nine-inning 5-4 loss to Golden before you went out to Arizona, lost to Moorpark, California, La Cueva out of Albuquerque, and then Chandler, Arizona. And you look at the scores, and like you said, you guys never get run ruled. But with your lineup with Brett Rosman and Josh Zotto, I mean, the guys that you have really good bats. Pitching was part of the problem, but also looked like you just struggled to score runs against those teams.
Yeah, we were having a hard time just, to be honest, putting bat on the ball. And stringing together more than one or two hits was difficult. La Cueva was a fantastic team. They played tough and had a really good talk with their coach afterwards. He knows Jamie Hamilton real well and told me to tell Jamie hello, and spoke real highly of him, of course, like most people do. We didn't hit. Defensively, we did okay. You know, catching, we Brett had a pretty rough game, which is very uncharacteristic of him. But again, those are all good things to happen early on. I mean, you want it to happen in March, not May. So, yeah, I mean, I'm liking where we're at, but it was good to go down there and get thumped on a little bit.
Well, now back to the Valley, and coming up Wednesday night, you've got Grand Junction. Tigers are playing really well. Forsyth Espinosa in his first year as Grand Junction's head coach. Currently, they're hitting right now at 309. And when you look at their lineup, I mean, Will Applegate was an All-State player last year. I mean, Will's off to a good start at 333. But they've had some other guys like Landon Scarborough, who's been on a tear. He's hitting 435 for the Tigers right now. He's got 10 hits on the season. Also, Ben Coleman's off to a great start. He leads them with 10 RBIs, and Jay Satterfield's been good on the bump and also at the plate. He's got 9 ribbies right now. That lineup, even with Will Applegate, still hitting well for them, Nate, but those other guys are just really putting some quality swings on some pitches so far this season.
Yeah, I've watched Landon Scarborough play for the last, 10 years, dating back to Monument Little League, and I've always been a fan of his because he just plays. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he plays tough. He's a good ball player all the way around. He runs pretty well, also. They've got some good bats, and hopefully we come out and we play our game, and they see some pitching maybe that they haven't seen. I don't know who they've seen pitching wise. I haven't followed too closely, but I know that our guys are around the zone, and we throw two or three pitches for strikes, and so. I always feel good about going against any of our local teams because there's always that, there's always that competition that you have with your buddies that they grew up playing travel ball with. And so now they're buddies off the field, and hopefully on the field they're not so friendly to each other.
Exactly. Nate Porter, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team with us on the Team Sports Network. Getting back to Chase Satterfield, Chase has had a really good start to the season. On the bump, he's 3-0. He's got an ERA under 2, 1.50 right now. Satterfield has been really, really good, and I don't know how it lines up for Cy today. He's got Eagle Valley, of course, today, and then you guys coming up tomorrow. But Satterfield, Ben Coleman could be one of the two arms that you see, maybe Brett Wojtek coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, I would figure either Satterfield or Wojtek. Both of those guys have been there 1-2. I hope we face their number one because, like I said, we want to play the best because I'm worried about May. I'm not so much worried about March. We talked earlier before that our Western Slope League is not our goal. Our goal is to finish top four. Everybody's goal is to win state, but to win state you got to make it to that last weekend. So I hope we face their ace, and I've watched Jace play for a lot of years too. He's always been a really good athlete. Good kid, good ball player. I've kind of enjoyed watching him over the years because I've seen him play since he was 10 or 12 years old as well. So he's doing well. He's having a good year.
Nate Porter, Palisade Bulldogs baseball coach with us on the team. And I would think, Nate, that after a rough road trip down to Arizona. I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun away from the ballpark, but you know, some of the lessons that you learned from that, that to snap this losing streak you're on, to get a team like Grand Junction, a Valley rival, the kind of game it's maybe just what the doctor ordered, playing good competition, but a Valley team, as you mentioned, and these kids know each other. They probably played against each other at some point in their youth baseball careers. This is probably the right recipe for your ball club to maybe start a winning streak.
Yeah, you know, I look at the schedule ahead of time, and we try and balance our pitching with who we're playing. And I'm excited to play Junction on Wednesday or tomorrow. It's hard to say how the kids are going to come out. All I can do is prepare them the best I can, and the other coaches, you know, getting their heads a little bit. And you know, as far as the Arizona trip goes, we had some fun. We went down to ASU, and Coach Rowling got us a tour of the facilities there, and it was just an awesome facility, and they treated us, you know, like gold members. It was pretty cool. Then we got a spring training game that we went in. We got some tickets and went to a spring training Mariners A's game, which was great. That Coach Carone, our new hitting coach, was able to get us because his best friend plays for Seattle. So we did have a break, but in our Arizona trip, we did a lot of character development talking, and I've told you before, if we can focus on character, it's going to roll over into success. And I'm really looking forward to seeing that come to fruition, to be honest with you. So I'm hoping that tomorrow these guys come out with their hair on fire a little bit.
Nate Porter, Coach Palisade Bulldogs baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. It's obviously been the kind of start you're hoping for, 2-6 right now, Nate, but maybe a player or two that has surprised you in a positive way to start out the season, and what you like what you've seen from fill in the blank, maybe a couple of guys or a guy for you.
Hunter Howard's the first one that comes to mind. Freshman, played, starting point guard for Coach Hitchcock at Palisade Varsity. He came into my office about 5 years ago and told me that he was going to start varsity as a freshman, and I hear that all the time from these kids. And I said, yeah, well, you know, good luck, we'll see. And he comes out, and he is just been a gamer. I mean, the kid we faced in Golden was topped out at 94. He got two knocks off of him, two legit knocks off of him. Timed up his fastball in the on deck circle and just smoked the ball to left center, one hop defense, and then hit a hard line drive over the shortstop set or in the 5-6 hole, another at bat. So Hunter Howard's been a very pleasant surprise. I knew he was a good athlete, but he stepped up mentally as well. Defensively, he's doing well. Garrett Draper, he didn't throw real great against Chandler, Arizona, but he didn't have a whole lot of help either. So he's one that his work ethic has been kind of a knight in shining armor type guy that you want to pay attention to, because he works hard and he cares. And he throws strikes too most of the time. So, but I would say Hunter's probably been our biggest surprise. There's another freshman, Dylan Larson. He's come out and he really competes. He competes well. So I'm excited to see what these guys have for the next few years for us, because I like the way they play and their heads in the game. So hope that answers your question.
It certainly does. Nate, I appreciate it. Of course, a lot of the game tomorrow night. Grand Junction taking on Palisade. Our coverage starts at 4:45, and our coverage of high school baseball brought to you by Ken Richards State Farm Insurance. Nate, always a pleasure, and good luck tomorrow night against Grand Junction.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Nate Porter, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs, and we hope to get Sy Espinoza on tomorrow. Grand Junction in action today when they take on Eagle Valley at 4 o'clock over Canyon View. Looking at Delta's schedule, and I believe maybe Delta got rained out the other day. It has Delta playing Montezuma Cortez today at 1 o'clock. And so on their schedule, which is subject to change, mm-hmm. It had that game set for Friday, but going to Max Preps, which we've been Max Preps before,
yes,
has at 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, that's what I see as well.
Okay. So anyway, good luck to Grand Junction today against Eagle Valley. Delta taking on Montezuma Cortez today at 1 o'clock at their place. All right. 8:38, and do we have a winner yet, by the way, for Stadium Cinema?
We do not.
Okay.
I need this sports movie.
Right now, you and me playing catch, all right? Let's play catch. Come on now.
That is not Field of Dreams. Good guess by Chris Bergquist, but not Field of Dreams. Right sport, though.
Okay, right sport.
Yes, but right sport, not Field of Dreams, kind of right, or not Field of Dreams. I was thinking of another Costner movie. So that hint would not apply here.
Okay.
But it is not a Costner baseball movie either. So we'll
keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind.
All right, so first correct answer, you win the Downtown Double Play, a Triple Play gift card to Triple Play Records on Main Street. Get your golf, your disc golf gear down there. Rock and Matt, they have tips and can tell you where to go play around the area. Also great vinyl and other cool stuff at their store on Main Street. And then the small Anapasto salad from Junction Square Pizza at 7th and Main. So text in your answer right now. Text only 970-242-1340. Four down territory coming up next on the Team Sports Network.
Stay by the radio.
You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
Welcome back, 842, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. This hour of the Jim Davis Show brought to you by Preston Lee. Country Financially believes in building relationships, supporting the community, and serving others. Have a chat. Let him help you protect the things that are important to you. Google him at Preston Lee Country Financial. Well, you're going a long way back with Jefferson Airplane there, right?
Sanctuary.
Well, Sanctuary
cover
doing...
Cover Jefferson Airplane.
See,
White Rabbit.
I'd be...
That's a good poll, though.
I would be totally cool with that. Yes, because it didn't sound quite the same.
No.
As the original.
But that's a good pull, though, White Rabbit. Every once in a while, try to get one by you. I think the one that got me that last time was Saxon. It's like, there's no way, and I should have known better. I really should.
There's just such a... Well, I love the band Saxon and know their stuff, and just their... There's a certain kind of like
there's
Iron Maiden. There's a sound that they have that you go, okay, that's fill in the blank. All right, so do we have a winner yet, by the way?
We do.
Okay, here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Our buddy Kenny correctly identified Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr., former WWE writer. And
Jessica Biel?
Yes.
Okay.
And the always seemingly high Matthew Lillard. That's just the character he plays, I think.
Geez, Scoob.
That one being most notably.
Perfect casting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
When they cast
Nailed
him to play Shaggy.
100%. Nailed it. Yeah, good job for Kenny.
Could not have cast that any better.
A couple other guys got it too, but Kenny was first in the door.
Well, congratulations, Kenny. All right, so let's go ahead and dive into four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
All right, the owners meeting this week in Arizona. The NFL owners are expected to vote on a plan that would allow flexing Thursday night football. It means the game scheduled for Sunday could be moved up 3 days to Thursday nights in weeks 14 through 17 with 15 days notice. So, this is to make Amazon happy. Remember, because last year they thought some of the games were duds.
Yeah.
Broncos played in at least one of those. Here's the problem. Okay, it's bad enough for players. If you're concerned about player safety, that's one thing. But what about fans? It's one thing of, say, I'm going to go watch the Broncos and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And they're going to play at 2:25 on Sunday. But I find out they're going to move the game to 6:30 Sunday night.
Right.
Okay, time changes. There are some adjustments schedule-wise. Maybe I was going to come back after the game. Now I'm going to have to get a hotel room. But it's not like I have to change flights or cancel flights. If you're a fan, you're planning on going to see a team on Sunday, and then all of a sudden they change that game to Thursday night, say I'm flying to a place to watch them.
Yeah.
That messes with fans and their schedule. You're absolutely screwed.
And
not to mention that this isn't great for the players.
The issue with the NFL, one of the issues I take issue with, trying not to be redundant, they don't really care about the fan in the building.
They say football's family, but that's a lot. That's a load.
They want you watching at home. They want you watching during the week. I don't really care if you go to games because the demand is such that most teams are not going to struggle to sell out, right? They don't really care if you're there. And they don't really care if you're, you know, a Packers fan from Moline or whatever, or if you're a Broncos fan from Grand Junction or a Raiders fan from Reno. Doesn't really matter traveling
care.
Because there's so few of you that the NFL's not really going to miss out on your dollars if you can't make it. And that's the thing that kills me about the NFL. The in-building product is really not what they're trying to do. Not what they're trying to fix, not what they're trying to make attractive. It's all about TV.
It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
For both the players, but also for the fans
and
as well.
15 days notice to shift maybe 4 days because the Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not.
That goes from 15 to 11.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Second down. Oh, by the way, XFL last night. I didn't mention XFL.
Oh, absolutely. I got
the DC Defenders beating Houston last night, 37-26.
The undefeated
DC Defenders. All right, move on to second down. Home plate umpire Randy Rosenberg ejected Philadelphia catcher JT Realmuto for Monday's game against Toronto for what seemed to be something fairly minor. Realmuto held his glove out for a new baseball, and when Rosenberg did not deliver it immediately, the catcher put his glove back down. Realmuto seemed to think Rosenberg was throwing the ball straight to the mound. However, Rosenberg took it as a sign of disrespect and tossed him. Jeez. Somebody's a little thin-skinned there, aren't they?
Yeah. And that, therein lies the problem with MLB umpires, that JT Realmuto did not break a rule.
No.
You want to argue balls and strikes, you're not allowed to do that.
No.
I feel disrespected. So you're going to throw... It's like the college umpire calling the kid out on a ball that was not in the same building, essentially. He called him out. That umpire should be punished.
He holds the glove up. I'm mm-hmm. watching the video. Umpire starts with the ball in, but he doesn't. Maybe Realmuto should have held the glove there a second longer. But then he puts the glove back down because he thinks the umpire's just going to throw it out to his pitcher.
But if you're going to start throwing out one guy for...
perceived
being disrespectful
insult.
Without saying anything, now you got to throw guys out for saying things that are borderline disrespectful, right? Which means
absolutely.
By the time we get to the ninth inning Thursday of whatever game this guy's umpiring, there's going to be nobody left because baseball players are mouthy. That was stupid.
That's thin-skinned and stupid.
Hopefully we're not too thin-skinned. Third down. MLB has their 9 tiers of the league. The A's are not alone in the lowest tier. The Rockies are there as well.
Not surprised.
Yep. Never a bad day at the ballpark is what that tier is called for MLB.com. I appreciate that. Now, this is this will go a little bit to the heavier side-ish, maybe. And maybe it's a longer discussion. I don't know. Jeff Eisenberg at Yahoo Sports asks a great rhetorical question. The way Nate Oates handled the Brandon Miller deal. The entirety of the last 2.5 months. Was it worth it to Nate Oates?
I wouldn't think so, but people forget, right?
Yeah.
They forget what he said.
Mm-hmm.
The demeanor that he had about, well, wrong place, wrong time. Stuff happens.
People are going to forget, but worst of all, or maybe just more worse, not worst, is... he can coach. So it's not going to matter all this other
exactly.
stuff.
Somebody's going to hire him.
If he can win, then that's what's going to draw him to somebody else.
That's what it's all about.
You can always excuse someone else's behavior with the hope that maybe this time will be different. And that's where I think for Nate Oates, they were an Elite Eight team, #1 overall seed in the tournament. For him, it probably was worth it, to be honest.
Probably.
But for the general public, it wasn't.
He'll survive. He'll be fine.
Yep.
Regardless what happens.
Agreed.
And people will forget.
Eventually, yeah.
But I guess for him, yeah, it was probably worth.
Unfortunately.
Worth, you know, making the comment that he made and the very weak apology that came from the whole Brandon Miller thing. All right, 851. Jim Lowe, the Buckeye Boy. Text or call 970-242-1340. Let's see. Good morning, muchachos, and welcome back. Let's see. Have any Titans really flourished under a Sean Payton offense? Have any tight ends, I guess that's...
Oh, I'm like...
Titans, because he typed it again.
Probably not.
Since he hasn't coached Titans, I mean, maybe former Titans, I don't...
True.
No, but have any tight ends, that's where he's going, really flourished under a Sean Payton offense? I really can't remember one. So what, I had Benjamin Watson there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Jimmy Graham a Saint for a while?
He was, but I don't know if
he wasn't really done. Flourished was
had a good run.
Yeah, I don't. When I think Sean Payton offenses, I don't think tight ends. I think wide receivers, running backs.
So Jimmy Graham, when he was with the Saints, his first 5 years in the league, 386 catches, 4,700 yards, 51 touchdowns.
So, yeah, Jimmy Graham did.
He led the league in touchdowns 1 year. He had 99 catches his second year, a pair of 12,000-yard seasons, where outside of his rookie year, his low water mark was 889. So,
yeah, I thought he had good. Yeah, it was Seattle.
It was the other way around.
When he went to Seattle, yep, where the numbers started to drop, and then exactly. Chicago. And yeah, in New Orleans, his first 5 years, they were really good. He was really good. Benjamin Watson wasn't bad there.
Not at all.
So there have been tight ends, Jimmy Graham most notably, that have flourished. From Phil this morning, this is why I like March Madness. It can be maddening when your team gets beat by a lesser-ranked team. Anyone can be beaten on any given day. That's what makes the tournament so awesome for the fans. Maybe these bigger schools need to do some better homework against these smaller schools. As you said earlier, that play well together and don't have a big-name player. It takes a whole team to win. And a weak greased team and a well greased team that works well together can beat a team that has one or two big time players. Smaller teams play harder, in my opinion, as they are underdogs and the bigger schools overlook them and get disappointed when they are bounced out of the tournament. That one from Larry from Clifton. We're talking about the Nuggets and the bench. Agree about the Nuggets. Use the players we went out and got in terms of Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson.
Exactly.
All right, so text or call 970-242-1340. And coming up next hour, it's Mav Day. We'll talk with Maverick outfielder Julian Boyd. Also, the skipper, the 1,000-game winner.
Yeah.
Chris Hanks will join us next hour.
38-1.
Most runs ever scored by a Maverick baseball
team. Oh, my gosh.
In program history.
Yeah.
38-1. And that went against Colorado Christian.
So much for the... Well, they took 3 out of 4 last year.
Well, so that was last year.
Went and played whack-a-mole.
No kidding. Insane baseball game. That 38-1 win.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, 15 zips, 17-2, 13-4 were the other three games.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this kind of was a trend.
So we'll talk about the sweep at Colorado Christian and some history made by the Mavericks, and most notably for Chris Hanks. Also, we'll talk with Troy Moyer, the head coach of the CMU men's lacrosse team. So that's all coming up next hour. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. A quick reminder, by the way, that tonight we will have the Final Four of the NIT tonight here on the team. Coverage starts at 4:45 for that one. And that is North Texas taking on Wisconsin, UAB, Utah Valley, who beat Colorado to get to the semifinals of the NIT. Once again, that starts at 4:45 today right here on the Team Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 3. And Mavden, hopefully my voice will hang in for roughly 60 more minutes. I think it will.
You got this.
We'll be okay. If not, you're going to have it. Put it that way. You'll be taking over. Hand off the baton. Hour 3 coming up next.